If you would, please, this evening, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm sure that some of you saw the title for tonight's message in the bulletin on Sunday. And we're going to be just doing a little bit of a study tonight that has been borne out of a circumstance where a parent in our church actually came and spoke to me about this subject and was looking for some advice and some guidance in this area of video games. And they were grappling with this with their own young people. And this was now about 2 months ago. And I started doing some research on the subject of video games and what is out there and what is popular and what is prevalent. And I had not realized how much things had changed since I was a teenager and I played video games. It is drastically different today than, and I'm only in my mid-20s, so that's not very long ago since the last time that I maybe played a video game. I'm not a big video game person myself. I'd rather go outside and kill a real deer or something like that, all right, rather than a cyber deer. A cyber deer, yes. Although I have played that game, and it's pretty exciting to get a 21-pointer. Every time you sit in your stand, it's much better than sitting out in the cold and getting nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Scriptures tell us, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." 2 Peter chapter 1. Did I say 1 Peter? I apologize. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, verse number 8, we'll just put them out on the counter, guys, and if they don't have them, they can pick them up after the service. And verse number 8 is the goal in the Christian life, that we would be neither unfruitful nor barren in our Christian life, but that we would have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that those previous verses would be true in our life, that we would be building spiritually, that we would be growing. And of course, all of those things that are necessary for our spiritual growth, and in fact, every other area of our life, according to verse number 3, are given to us from God in His Word. All the things that pertain unto life and godliness. So tonight, you say, "Brother Ronnie, you're talking about video games. Where do you find that in the Bible?" Well, we don't. All right, quite frankly, Paul did not play video games. So if you want to take that as your example, there you go. All right, they didn't have video games. They didn't know about them. They didn't even have computers, Brother Barr. They didn't know what the stupid things were, right? He had better things to do with his time. No. But seriously, we look at the Scriptures, though, and we say, how do we address these issues that come up in our life, and particularly the entertainment choices that we have as Christians? And we have to understand that we can come to the Word of God with confidence and know that God has an answer, that there are principles by which we can guide our life. And these cultural items can be sometimes be difficult. The subject of video games, in researching it and finding out things about it, I discovered that there are many different opinions on this subject. If you have an opinion on it, I guarantee you there's somebody else that's got that opinion, because there's all kinds of opinions varying from don't play them at all to play whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, and everything in between. And so I came to the Scriptures and looked for God's counsel on this matter. Now, I just want to ask a quick question. By a show of hands, I was wondering how many people in this auditorium tonight either play video games themselves or know someone personally that does play video games? Raise your hand. All right? Now look around the room. Look around the room. You can put your hands down. Almost every person in this room tonight raised their hand. I was shocked to find out that the average age of a video gamer in the United States is 28 years old. Which tells you that there's a whole lot of old fogies out there that enjoy video games too. So this is not... Now see, I'm under 28, so I can say that, right? No, that means that there's people who are a lot older than 28 to get an average, because we know there's people younger than 28. There's a lot of older folks that enjoy video games as much as the younger generation, maybe even more. In fact, in a survey that was done in the United States in the year 2000, it was found that of all Americans, 60% of men, women, teenagers, and children, 60% play video games routinely. Now that is staggering. Did you realize that in 1999, the sales of video and PC games combined brought in $6.1 billion. Now tell me, we're in an economic crunch. That's from 99, $6.1 billion. Video games are increasingly becoming an issue among Christians and non-Christians alike. I was interested to find out, when I began to do research on this, I went to the internet and I found many secular parenting websites that had warnings about video games. And I was intrigued by that. I thought, if the world is alarmed about this subject, what about God's people? And yet there is also other websites that are dedicated to defending this industry and talking about how wholesome and wonderful it is. And you have to step away and say, who in the world do we believe on this subject? Video games, as you already saw, are quite prevalent among members of our church. At least people within the sphere of your influence play video games. And I would guess, I won't do this, but there's a good number of folks in this room tonight who do play video games themselves. And so this has a tremendous impact on us. And we need to make sure that we have proper wisdom and discernment to determine what is right and what is wrong in this area. And tonight, I'm not going to blast people who play video games, all right? I'm not going to tell you that you can't ever play a video game. I'm going to try to really take a balanced approach and try to seek some counsel from the Word of God, because this is something that we have to face as parents, even as young people in this church. You're going to have to make some moral decisions concerning what you will play and what you will not, or if you will play at all. So in doing this, I just want to point out a little bit of background information, and most of this is introductory. Video games. First of all, the progression of video games. Did you know that the first commercialized video game that was for sale in the United States was put out in 1972? Now, that's not very long ago. That means that there's several people in this room tonight, probably a lot of people in this room tonight, that can remember when most people did not have access to video games in their home. And 1972 was a system called the Odyssey. It was a very intricate system. It played six different games, all of which involved a ball bouncing back and forth. It had no sound, and it had no way of keeping score. But it was a big seller, and everybody was wild about it. Not long after that, by the way, it was black and white, too. There wasn't even any color. They didn't even have a beeping sound or anything. Not long after that, Atari began to develop their systems, and that's the one that probably most of you remember. And they put out their biggest system for sale, or their first system really for sale, which was their home version of Pong, if some of you remember that game, Pong. And that was available for sale in 1975. And then, after that, it began to move towards arcade games. And some of you remember the arcade generation, because arcade games, they could put more money into building the unit, which it cost a lot of money back then, and so they could make it bigger and put it in a central place, and people come and plug their nickels or whatever it was back then, quarters, into those arcade games. And those were very, very popular. But then some of the manufacturers decided they needed to start getting these types of games into the homes of consumers. And so Atari really began to pursue this. And some of you may remember the 2600 Atari system that was put out in 1982, actually. And that was the system that was packaged with the classic game Pac-Man. and everybody wanted Pac-Man with the Atari. 1982. That doesn't seem like all that long ago. After that, we lose it all in a blur of new competitors and people coming on the market. Nintendo, PlayStation, Sega Genesis. Today we have these incredibly advanced systems like the Xbox that's put out by Microsoft, which has intense graphics, complex schemes, unbelievable sound, and it's all built into this little box. Who would have thought in 1972 that it would come to this? But we have to ask ourselves, if this is where it is today, we even have virtual reality systems now. If this is where it is today, let's look 10 years down the road and wonder what it's going to be like and what we're going to be facing. And the other thing that we have to consider is that with the advance of technology and with more realistic type games, we have many more moral decisions to make about games because they're more realistic and they can implement more things about real life. So that is a short history of video games. And then let me just break down for you some categories of video games, if you will, the placement of video games. There's arcade type games, Tetris and Pac-Man and Dig Dug was big when I was in about 8th grade. Dig Dug and all these types of games. Those are more arcade type games. Most of you don't even know what that is, all right? It was free, that's why, all right? Then there is today the action adventure type of game, and these are incredibly popular, including such games as Commando, Behind Enemy Lines, and the Tomb Raider series, and a game called Resident Evil. These are all ones that I found on the internet. Then there are sports games such as racing, football, basketball, soccer, hockey. You go on and on, they have a game for it. Hunting, amen, they've got that too. They have simulators that are out there. And a lot of these began as flight simulators, mostly airplane type games, but they've evolved now, if you will, into the type of games that we have today. Games like SimCity, where you build a city and you practice your economy and things like that. And then you have the Roller Coaster Tycoon game and other games like that. These are simulators. And then there are, of course, educational games. And you know that there's all kinds of games to learn how to type and do your math and Scrabble and all kinds of stuff like that. And then a particularly, and let me just point this out to you, we'll talk about it in greater detail later, a particularly dangerous kind of a game is the fantasy or role-playing game. And this is directly after the fashion of Dungeons and Dragons, the old board game, and now they have it online and you are playing these games in a virtual community with people all over the world in a real-time setting, which makes it even more difficult and dangerous. And some of these include, in fact, Dungeons and Dragons, which is now online, a game called EverQuest, which I found a lot of information about on the internet, and another game called Final Fantasy, and there are many others in this category. But just to give you an idea of the types of games that are out there, folks, it's no longer Pong and Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, all right? There are so many games you can't even keep track of them all. That's how complex it is. Now, the next one might surprise you a little bit. I'm going to talk about the pluses of video games. You say, pluses? There's pluses? Well, I had to get this in here somewhere, all right, lest somebody would be offended. So I found some pluses for video games. Here they are. You ready? The one that everybody always says, the big plus for video games, you know what it is? Hand-eye coordination. It builds hand-eye coordination. Amen. It teaches you coordination. And so that's what everybody likes to point out as being a plus of video games. And certainly video games do build hand-eye coordination. I will not deny that. All right. Second of all, and this is a real plus of video games, they are good in the area of problem solving and puzzles. And they teach analytical thinking. And you practice and you're trying to figure out these different keys and unlock things. And certainly you have to think in order to play a lot of games. And so people say that's a good thinking skill. Okay, granted, I will give them that. And also, video games can be effective and realistic teachers. And more video games are being used in real life setting for trainings. For instance, for an Air Force pilot who's going to test out in a certain kind of an airplane. They actually have simulators that exactly simulate the interior of the cockpit of that airplane and respond exactly like that airplane would respond. And that pilot has to be able to fly that simulator successfully before he gets in that plane that costs millions and millions of dollars. That's a good idea. All right, we don't mind that. Also, some of the young people are taking driver's ed, and they've started using driving simulators now. And they have these computers which will simulate the effects, for instance, of alcohol on your system. And they will plug in a certain number, and it will show the kids how hard it is to drive a car if you are drunk. Or it will show them how challenging it is when you're racing down a back road and you hit an S-curve with gravel and where your car is going. And they try to emulate or simulate real life situations. And so certainly video games can have their pluses. But tonight, I imagine you figured this out. What I want to talk about are the problems that are involved with video games. The problems that are involved with video games. And I have categorized at least 10 problems that I see with video games tonight. And not with every video game necessarily, but with many video games that are out there. And the first one that I want to point out to you is the problem of addiction. Addiction. Now, some of you look at me and you say, what in the world do you mean, addiction? That's exactly what I mean. Just like a lot of people get addicted to drugs or get addicted to alcohol or get addicted to any other number of things, they get addicted to video games. And it's not hard to see. You just pay attention to someone that really plays a lot of games. It's pretty hard to get them to tear away from their game for real life because they are so involved and sunk into what they are playing. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, the scriptures say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And any type of addiction is idolatry. It is having a god before Jehovah God. And when we have a game, even a game, or a simulation, or something that is not real that we play as being so important in our life that it begins to take away from our relationship with God, we're in trouble. And addiction is a reality with video games. You say, you're just making that up. No, I'm not. Actually, I found several websites on the internet which talk about this very subject, and there are actually agencies and psychologists who specialize in video game addiction. I'll bet you find that hard to believe, but they're out there. And they say video game addiction is very real. It is dangerous, and it is difficult to wean someone away from video games once they are addicted. That should tell us a lot right there. When even worldly experts are pointing out that you can get addicted to video games, we as Christians should sit up and take notice. Now, does your video game time take away from your time with God, with your family, or with your friends? Are you making excuses about why you continue to play that game that is questionable? Then you are probably addicted, and you need to get some help. You need to get away from that. Here are some signs of addictions. And if there's a little purple sheet that's out in the foyer if you want to pick this up to help you evaluate video games. And this is found on there. I believe the first question, are you addicted to this video game? Here are some areas that you can consider concerning addiction. First of all, your thoughts. Do you find yourself, now this seems a little silly that we should even be talking about this, but do you find yourself during the day thinking about the game and how you can beat it and how you can get to the next level? Now, some folks are chuckling a little bit, but you know there's really people out there that have this problem. And they cannot focus on anything else in the day. They can't focus on schoolwork, on their job, on anything because they're thinking about how I'm going to beat this stupid game. They're addicted. And if your thoughts are constantly on your game, you're in trouble. Your temperament. Is your mood affected when you can't play your game or when your play gets interrupted? This is a good one to learn about as you observe your children. Do they have a mood change when they're playing their video game and you come and ask them to get up and do some chores? Do they have a mood change? You have a problem on your hands, all right? Because your kids are getting addicted to a video console to the point that they don't want to listen to mom and dad. This can happen with television too. The third area of addiction is in your talk. Do you often find yourself talking with friends about your gaming? Do you go online to share strategy and talk to everybody else that's online about how you can beat this particular game? Okay. Fourth area, in temptation. Do you find yourself giving time to your gaming habit when you know that you have more important things to do than play a game. If your young people aren't getting their homework done because they're playing video games, then they have a problem because they are choosing a game over reality. And you need to talk to them about it. Fifthly, your time. Do you spend increasing amounts of time playing games, especially at night when everyone else is in bed? Most gamers end up being night people because that's what they do. They come home from work, and this is the truth, especially older people. They come home from work, they sit up playing the video game, time gets away from them. Next thing they know, it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. They have to go to work. They drag themselves to work. This is a pattern that is repeated. It makes it very difficult to hold down a job when you're staying up all night playing video games. Addiction is the first problem with video games. Be careful about addiction, because the very nature of video games is to draw you in, to involve all of your senses, and to make it a very enjoyable experience. And many people find it so enjoyable that they can't tear themselves away. The second problem with video games is that they are time wasters. Time wasters. Now, I want you to turn back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. This is one of my chief problems with the video game scene, is that it is a time waster. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, that means to buy it back, to purchase it back, to make time count. And Brother Garcia, I can't for the life of me figure out how sitting in front of your Nintendo for 2 hours playing a game redeems the time. I can't. I've thought about it from every angle, and I cannot understand what it does for people to make them say they are redeeming the time. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with recreation or with entertainment in its proper place, but I believe as Americans we've put entertainment way up here, and we've made it a god in our life. And so we get upset if we don't have time for entertainment. Folks, entertainment is the bonus. Entertainment is a great thing when we can have it, but entertainment is not real life. And we need to be careful. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You're probably aware of the fact that most games today take days and even weeks to master. It takes a long time to work through the intricacies of the puzzles and all the different levels and secret places where you can go and do these different missions. And it eats up time from people who don't have time to give. I'm talking about young people who can't even get their homework done and come to school the next day and stand in front of the teacher and say, I didn't have time to do my homework. And when you begin to probe, you find that they spent an hour or better playing their video games. Now, what's the problem? They're wasting time. They're learning early on. Or a husband or even a wife. I was shocked to find out that just under 50% of women surveyed actually play video games. But they're taking away from their home responsibilities and the things that they need to do with the children and time to spend with the family and work around the house and preparing for their job to play video games. It's a time waster. At the end, what is your reward? When you've spent 60 hours conquering a game, what is your reward? Nothing. You take the game and you put it in a box and you either throw it in the garbage, give it to a friend, or put it on a shelf and never think about it again because it's no fun to play after you've beat it. What kind of a reward is that? Now, let me ask you a really interesting question. How does this compare to our willingness to spend even 10 minutes a day memorizing Scripture? We can sit and play mindlessly with a stupid video game for an hour and think nothing of it. But to sit down and read our Bible or to memorize Scripture is hard work, and we don't like it. It tells us something about our spiritual state. The third problem that I see with video games is, and it goes right along with the last one, is that they are distracting from the important areas of life. Distracting. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if Satan can get our attention off of the things that really matter in life, then he has succeeded. He has caused us to be sleepy Christians, and he's caused us to fail in our Christian walk. And I'm afraid that video games can become a tool of Satan in this very area. in causing Christian young people to get distracted from all the things that are really important in their life, all the character that they should be building into their life, and all the things that they should be becoming, and instead they pour it into something meaningless like a video game. This doesn't just happen to teenagers, though, because many adults are caught up in this thing. I was talking with Jonathan Perks, and he told me about an acquaintance of his, a young man about our age, who grew up in a Christian home, in fact, a pastor's home. He was recently married, has a young child, and he got caught up in an online role-playing game. It got to the point where he literally spent all night long playing this game. He would come home from work, immediately start playing. He could barely drag himself to work in the morning. It got so bad that his wife realized something had to be done. She went to him and she said, "Look, you've got to choose. It's either me or the video game." You know what he said? "I'll help you pack." He threw away his marriage over a video game. He was neglecting the important areas of life. Now you say, "That'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to me." Probably not. It will never get to that level. But you know what level it does get to? Your wife really wants to talk to you about something, but instead you're in there in front of the video game, and she comes in and wants to talk to you, and you say, "Leave me alone. I'm almost past this level. I'll come out and talk to you in a minute." But you never quite get past it, and you never quite get the chance to talk to her, and she's hurt. And this happens night after night after night, and you wonder why you're having problems. Or you're a teenager, and you're having difficulty with your parents, and you can't figure out why. Maybe it's because you're distracted from all the other areas in life because you're so focused on your video games. They are distracting. Fourth problem that I have with video games is that they are not beneficial to spiritual growth. They are not. I've thought about it. I've tried to come up with an excuse for how they could be beneficial to your spiritual growth. There's no way that video games help you grow in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that inherently they are completely wrong. But it does mean that we ought to be very careful. If they don't help us draw closer to God, then why are we pursuing it? Why? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the Scriptures say, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." How does this game help me to be holy? To be like Christ? Maybe a better question to ask is, does this cause me to be opposite of Christ in any way? Is this hurting my Christian character? Because it could be. The fifth problem that I have with video games is that they are harmful to your physical condition when they are played in excess. They are harmful. They are harmful not only to your eyes, any eye doctor will tell you that, not only to your eyes, but to your body. You may find this amazing, but I actually found a story where video games led to a person dying. This is from an England-based newspaper. It says this: "A South Korean games addict died after playing nonstop for 86 hours. No wonder he died. According to the Sydney Morning Herald, the 24-year-old man, this was not an old man, he was 24, identified by police as Kim, was found dead on Tuesday at an internet cafe in Gwangju. Police said Kim had been virtually glued to the computer since for 86 hours and had not slept or eaten. He collapsed in front of the front desk, but soon regained his consciousness. He then went to the toilet, where he was later found dead. An initial investigation ruled out the possibility of murder, and police believe he probably died of exhaustion." You think, oh, that's the only one. No, actually, a couple days later, there was another one. A 27-year-old Taiwanese man collapsed after playing computer games for 32 hours nonstop. Police confirmed that Lian Wen-Ching started playing at the cyber cafe in Fengyun, in central Taiwan at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday. At 7 a.m. on Saturday, a staff member found the man on the floor of the cafe's toilet, foaming at the mouth and bleeding from the nose. They rushed him to the hospital, but he was already dead, local police said. Now you say, I'm not going to play video games that long. Probably not. But here's my point. It's not good for you to sit there for hours on end playing a video game. It's not good for your back, for your eyes. It's not good for your body. Get out and exercise a little bit, all right? It's not going to hurt you. Play a video game. We got all these people today who are couch potatoes and video game junkies. No wonder United States is one of the most obese nations in the world. And that's the truth, all right? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Is it glorifying to God for you to stay up all night with your friends playing video games? Does it help your physical health? I don't think so. For that matter, we could say watching television as well. Here's a sixth reason, sixth problem I have with video games. It promotes wickedness, and this is a big one. It promotes wickedness by pretending to be involved in it. Now, this is where I got the shock of my life. Turn to Ephesians 5. You should be there already, verse 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That means as Christians, it's none of our business to go out and find out what the world's doing and to talk about it. And that applies to video games. You say, what are you talking about? Well, many of the things that you would never allow your children to talk about or to discuss around the supper table, they do in the form of their character on their video game. And you let them. I'll give you a good example, and this is a good example because it's a game that is very, very popular right now. It's the game of the year from 2002. It's a game called Grand Theft Auto. Best-selling game of 2002. A game, incidentally, which I guarantee you there are people in this church who have played or are playing this game. This is a game in which you are a bad man working for the mob. The object of the game is to complete your mission and to fulfill your obligation or your payment to the mob. This includes assassinations, stealing cars, and even picking up a prostitute. There are virtual prostitutes on the street which you drive by, pick up with your car, and drive off with them. And they say, and this is the common excuse, well, it doesn't show anything. I'm sorry, but the whole idea of your children driving by on a street and picking a prostitute up in a virtual car, that tells me there's something wrong. But here's the common response to this type of a game, and I found this on a Christian website which critiques video games. This young man who's 18 years old, his name is Jason, is critiquing this game. He says, it's a shame, though, that such a marvel would have to be chock full of blood, vulgar language, obscenities, and sexual innuendos to satisfy the average consumer. But to anyone familiar with the Grand Theft Auto series, these things should not come as a real shocker. Stealing cars and other vehicles, fulfilling gang-style objectives, slaughtering people, smuggling items, escorting baddies, it's all in this one. The gameplay is excellent. The graphics are beautiful. The sound effects, voiceovers, and radio stations are well recorded. The replay value is phenomenal. Everything that makes a good game is contained within Grand Theft Auto 3. However, everything that makes a game bad is also contained within it. Then he says this. This is what got me. He says, as a Christian, this game is horribly offensive. It is probably the most controversial game on the market right now. I therefore warn anyone who is just starting their walk with God to stay away from a game such as this. It is a force to be reckoned with in itself. As a gamer, though, I love it. Now, there's a man, a young man, in denial. And you say, I'm sure glad none of our young people would ever say anything like that. Parent, beware. Beware. Because one of the chief methods of getting away with sin in your life is denial. Is saying, it's not all that bad. So-and-so is playing it. It's not a big deal. But Dad, you just don't understand. I don't do that part of the mission. My friend, I'm advising you to go home and look at the shelf and figure out what your children are playing. And you ought to throw away some games probably. All right? This is where the parents need to be proactive. You say, well, that's probably the only one. No, actually, there's another very popular series right now. It's called the Tomb Raider series. It features a young lady who is the hero of this series who is indecently dressed to begin with. And the whole thing, of course, is an action thing where she goes and she gets stuff and she collects treasure. And would you know that if you go to the right places on the internet, you can get cheat codes to type in to make the hero of the game drop all of her clothes and play the game in the nude. Now, this is written into the code of the game on purpose to make it more exciting. And you know who's doing this? Young men who are very interested in that sort of thing. And they get those codes and they type them in and then they get their fill. Parents, beware. You better know what's on your children's computers and on their PlayStations and other sorts of gaming utensils that they have. Well, that's a problem because it's causing us to pretend like we're being wicked. Now, I'm not actually participating in it. I'm just doing it on a game. It's the same thing. If you're doing it in here, God says you're doing it for real. Be careful. Here's another problem that I have with video games. They are money wasters, and if you're not wasting your money on them, you're probably stealing them. Now, Proverbs 18:9. I might get off on a really tough one here. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. By the way, people who are sloths, who have a horrible time at work, also tend to like video games. I found that to be true in many cases. Not that every person who likes video games is a sloth, but the opposite is usually true. People who like to lay around don't mind laying there on their couch and playing a video game. The average cost of a game is between, I would say, between $20 and $50 on the research that I did. $20 and $50. You say, that's not so bad. No, but when you conquer a game, you got to get another one, then you got to get another one, then you got to get another one, which adds up to $6.1 billion spent in 1999. But then you say, well, I don't buy my games. You know what that means? If they're not being given to you by a friend, a licensed copy, it means that you are pirating the software, which is stealing. It is illegal. Those have copyright laws on them, and you as a Christian are participating in stealing. We don't have to talk too long about that to know it's against the Word of God. Here's another problem with video games. They encourage violence. Encourage violence. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, Solomon says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." And I believe that we could apply this to the virtual setting as well as the real one. You could say, well, it's just on a screen. It's not real. Games like Mortal Kombat, where you have these guys who are fighting and one of the contestants reaches in and can pull the spine out of the other guy. You know, it's not really in good taste. When you have a firefight with a whole crowd of people and you're leaving piles of blood all over the ground, I mean, come on. These are the type of games that are all over the market, though, and that your children very well could be playing. And you need to be careful. It encourages violence. Say what you will about this subject, but there is no doubt that a constant exposure to virtual violence is going to numb your mind to real violence. And we've got to be very careful in this. Many experts today are linking the rise in violent video game participation to the rise in violent aggression among our young people because they're acting it out on a screen with the controller and then they go to school and they act it out in real life with somebody who's real. Case in point, a young man who about 2 weeks ago in Allentown took an 18-pound chunk of ice and threw it off of a bridge at a car on 22. A woman was killed because this young man could not associate the fact that an 18-pound chunk of ice is going to go through a windshield and kill a woman if it hits her. See, he's gotten, somehow, something's not connecting here. He's 15 years old. He's old enough to know better than to throw chunks of ice at a car. I mean, this is just common sense. Adults can separate reality from make-believe. Certainly we can. And some adults will say, well, I can separate. It's not a big deal. Yes, you can. But let me ask you this question. What are you teaching your children who are watching you play? Because they cannot. The cognitive processes of a young person, of a child, are not able to really separate what happens on a screen from what happens in real life. Young children especially. Be careful what you're teaching your children. Here's another problem I have. There's a use of vulgarity. This is common. Most video games today use vulgarity in some way. You heard it about Grand Theft Auto, many others as well. The scriptures say, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now here, Paul is talking to the preacher, and he's talking about how to respond to people who are naysayers. But this also has application in the area of the speech that comes out of our mouth. We need to avoid these things. Why is it that we would allow our children to play a game that has vulgarity on it, but if we heard them say those words at the supper table, we'd slap their mouth? Be careful what you're letting into your home. Can I also say that applies to the television? Here is a tenth problem that I have with video games. They are accompanied by danger areas of pornography and wrong music. Pornography and wrong music. And the Scriptures say in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." It is common knowledge that the gaming community online is particularly pornographic. If you want to find, you go to a gaming site and you're going to find all kinds of things that you can't look at as a Christian. So stay off of them. All right? They're dangerous. And this pornographic stuff is all tied in with the games, because people who are gamers also tend to spend a lot of time on the internet, also tend to access pornography on the internet. And it all goes together. Be careful. Also music. Most of the soundtracks from popular games, even harmless games, you have to be very careful about the music that is being played on there. Is this something that you would play over your sound system in your house, that you would share with your neighbors when they came over? Probably not. So why do you let your child sit there and play a video game and listen to it? What's the difference? I don't understand. Now, you can turn the volume down, all right? But be careful. Now, in conclusion, we've seen a lot of problems with video games. And I have passed out, I've made up a little sheet there to help you to evaluate video games. And some questions on there that will help you as a parent and as an individual to evaluate whether you should really be playing this video game or your children should. First question, what is the rating on this game? And there is a secular rating system that is put out that is on the back or the front of all video games that are sold. And you can look right on it and you can see what it's rated by this secular agency. There are categories for adult only, mature, teen, early childhood, and everyone. And then there are some that are not yet rated. And so you should familiarize yourself with this rating system. In case you're wondering, there's also a description of why that game got that rating. For instance, if it's listed as an adult-only game, there's a very good reason for it. And it's going to list that reason somewhere on the box, whether it be bad language, whether it be extreme violence, whether it be sexual connotations or outright sexual acts on the game. You say, they don't do that on games. Yes, they do. Be careful. There's a lot of stuff out there that I'm telling you, I don't know if you're aware of how many bad games are on the market. Everything from witchcraft that's available through games to sexual acts, murder, all kinds of stuff. Be careful. By the way, I put in here, mature games should be handled with extreme caution, if at all. Be careful. There's a reason it has that rating, and if the world is rating it that, you ought to find out why. Second of all, what is the goal of this game? How do you earn points? This will tell you a lot about a game. If the game is all about running people over and getting people squashed on the pavement behind you with your car, that's probably not a real good thing to teach your children. All right? Drive around in the car and squash people. And yet, that is the way you earn points in Grand Theft Auto, among other things, but that's how you earn points. Be careful about this kind of stuff, all right? What is the goal of the game? How much time, question three, am I or my child spending on this game? This will tell you a lot. I would advise that if you have children who like to play video games, that you work out some type of an agreement where they only spend so much time per day playing video games and no more. Because your children are just like everybody else's children, and they get involved in the game, and they forget, and next thing they know, they've spent 2 hours playing a video game, and you weren't paying attention, and you come in, and you get upset. They need to know up front, okay, this is it. No more. Are important areas of my life being neglected because of this video game? This will signal that there is addiction. Question five, danger signs of addiction. Question six, now this is one that I think you ought to pay attention to. If my child is playing this game, do I know as much about it as they do? Most parents don't have a clue about video games. All they know is, this looks like a cool game. Somebody down the street said it was pretty neat, so I bought it for my kid, and I let him play it. You ought to know as much about that game as your kids do. You can find an abundance of material on those games online. Just go online, type in that game, and look for reviews of it. All right? Put in video game review and look for that particular game. You'll find out all kinds of stuff about that game. And you'll probably find out some stuff and say, maybe I don't want my kid to have this game. All right? Be informed. It will help you immensely. Know if there are cheat codes that do special things in the game. Know about the theme of the game. Know if there are secret levels. You ought to know about that as a parent if your children are playing it. Question 7, this is a big one. Do I have protection on my computer against pornography? Against pornography. Folks, pornography is readily accessible on the internet. If you do not have some type of protection against that, I'm advising you to get it. You say, my kids would never do that. You're a fool. You're a fool. Because your kids are human just like everybody else, and it's one mouse click away from things that their flesh tells them they want to see. Get some protection on your computer. If you want some advice about that, you can talk to Brother Anger, talk to my dad, talk to me. There are some programs out there that you can get to protect yourself. Question 8, are my family and friends expressing concern? If other people in your life are talking to you about your video game habits, maybe you ought to sit up, oh, it's no big deal. They don't know what they're talking about. The people closest to you usually know. Am I making excuses for why I should play this game? If you constantly find yourself making excuses for why it's all right to continue playing this game, it's not so bad. You have a problem. You're trying to excuse something that the Holy Spirit is prompting you that you should not be doing. And you ought to be careful. You have a verse at the bottom of your page. What is it? Dean, what is it? Satan wants to get an advantage of us as a church. He wants to get an advantage of our young people. He wants to destroy their lives. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we are not ignorant of his devices. If you think that Satan is above using video games to accomplish his purposes, you are wrong. In fact, Satan is a master at using popular media to accomplish his purchases or his purposes in your life. He wants to accomplish something, and he will use whatever tool he can get. Be careful. In conclusion, I'm not saying that video games, all in all, are bad. I'm not saying that you should necessarily completely stop playing video games. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that as a Christian, you have the responsibility to be careful. Also, as a parent, you have the responsibility to be discerning of what your children are participating in. And I challenge you as a Christian parent, as Christian teenagers here, that you come to the games that you're playing or that your children are playing and evaluate them in the light of Scripture. It will make a big difference in how you approach this subject. I hope that tonight this has been informative and helpful to you. I've spent a lot of time preparing this material, and like I said at the beginning, I found out a lot of stuff that I didn't know, that I didn't necessarily want to know about this scene. Be careful. Be careful. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Father, we thank you for this night. Help us to be discerning and wise in our choices. God, pray that you'd help us to really be diligent in this area, Lord. And our goal, Father, is to be like Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to bring about every tool that we have in our lives to be like Christ. Lord, help us to put entertainment on another level where it needs to be, way below serving you and being like you. I pray, Father, that you'd just give us discernment, strength, and wisdom as each of us goes home and tries to think about this message and implement it in the way that you would have us do, Father. We thank you for all that you've done, and we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.